Hi there, I'm Barry Forward, and welcome to the Reboot Forward podcast. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into the wonderful world of change, reinvention, transformation, and just plain doing something different. In particular, how it impacts the people who go through that change, what they've learned from their journey through change, and ultimately, what has allowed them to reboot forward. Today on the podcast, we are going to touch in on a topic that could bring an incredible, life-changing reboot to my guests. I connected recently with a couple who has been spending much of their time over the past 2 years, including much of the pandemic, meshed in a battle with infertility. So what do you do when you are going and working your way through the in vitro fertilization process? Well, you start a podcast, of course. Makes sense. They call it the Lunatics Do IVF. The they in this case are Craig and Alex Malcolm, a couple committed to sharing their journey, all of the things they discover, the challenges they face, the ups and downs, with others wrestling with fertility challenges. Craig, a born and raised Brit who has lived and worked in something like 39 countries, offers a dry sense of humor, his British sense of humor, from a male perspective to the conversation, while Alex shares her side of things, the female perspective, and some way she appears to keep Craig grounded in the reality of what they are going through. Here's my conversation with Alex and Craig Malcolm, the Lunatics.
I think I can speak for both of us when I say it's the biggest change either of us have ever been through in our lives. We've both gone through our own personal journeys and mental health struggles and whatnot, and you know, losing and changing jobs and moving from here to there and people coming in and out of your lives. But this to me is the biggest change in our life. It's like devoting all your time, energy, and resources to trying to conceive, trying to get pregnant, and trying to have a baby. And never in a million years did I think it would be this hard or take this much effort. I remember thinking when I was younger, or even not that long ago, I remember having a conversation with somebody and saying, you know, if we can't get pregnant and if we don't end up having a baby, I don't think we'd do the IVF route. Like, it's just, maybe it's not meant to be then if you can't get pregnant naturally. But then a couple of years ago, something twigged in me, something changed. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was my age or whatnot, but it was like, the thought of not having a child, like, especially with Craig, the thought of not having a child terrified me.
And that was one night though. You had a meltdown one night. It wasn't like a conversation we'd have over a period. That was one evening that you had that breakdown.
Yeah, it flooded through me. Like, before you and I were kind of on opposite ends of the discussion, you were always like adamant, yes, I want a child. I want to be a father. And I was, again, like, I could take it or leave it. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, that's fine. I'm fine with it. And then all of a sudden one night it just came over me. Like, I got very, very emotional. And I think also, when that did happen and we started, okay, let's look into this some more. And, you know, why haven't we gotten pregnant, and what are the issues here? And we looked into them some more. And then when the doctors told me, you know, there's a very good possibility that you're not going to be able to get pregnant naturally. And when somebody told me it wasn't going to happen, that's when it was devastating, absolutely devastating.
The name of your podcast, The Lunatics Do IVF. Okay. So I know nothing. Okay. And I'm just saying, I'm assuming you were lunatics before all this. And you
Yeah, that probably should have been part of our introduction on why we're the lunatics. Craig, do you want to?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the reason we called the lunatics is our dog's called Luna. And yeah. one of our friends, he actually started calling us the lunatics because, in his opinion, we're a little bit off the wall or crazy or whatever you want to call it. And that's kind of where it came from. But we were going back to the story of why the changes and what how this, you know, comes around for us is there's two folds that I think. And for me, you know, when we're at school, when I was at school anyway, obviously with different generations, but we were always told, you know, if you look at a girl, you kind of get pregnant. It's really easy to get pregnant and all that sort of stuff. And the biggest change for me was changing my mentality of, you know, oh, it's easy to get pregnant. Whenever you want kids, you can have them, you know, as long as you're not, you know, the woman's really old or, you know, it's dead easy to have kids. And that was the biggest change for me, going back into that reasoning. And then obviously going through this whole process through IVF, it's so clinical. We joke that it's all we're doing is stressing or waiting. They're the only two options or things or emotions that we go through at the moment. And that change in itself is crazy. It's just so involved. We're learning every day. And I think, Alex, I don't know how you feel about this, but I just feel that it's changing me and what I'm kind of, as a person, what I can put up with or, you know, the experience of it is changing how I feel towards parenthood and how precious it is and how difficult to come by it is.
Yeah, it's not definitely not something that we will take for granted when it does happen. That's for sure.
Well, it, you know, and I just think of you guys. I mean, you're laughing. Your podcast is light, and I think the quote that you sent me, Alex, was because if you're not laughing, you're crying.
Yeah.
How important is it for everyone to look at this process with one a serious eye, but more towards that, I don't know, that you got to be good to yourself and be light about it.
Well, God, yeah, you do, because like I have, as most people have had a really tough year, you know, 2020 wasn't good to a lot of people. I lost my job due to COVID, but before that, I'd actually gone on stress leave. I was on stress leave for a couple of months before COVID even hit, and I had a nervous breakdown, and it was due to my job, due to a toxic work environment, and I needed to take a break and step away. And I'd always planned on going back, and then COVID hit and my job wasn't there anymore. And it really gave me that push I needed to get out the door. But I was in a low, 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 low place, like a very low place. And I think had we gone into the IVF process during that time, which we had originally planned to do, we had originally planned to do it last summer. But that's when, because of COVID, all fertility treatment was put on hold. So we didn't have that option. And there's no way I could have mentally survived it during that time. We both had to get mentally strong to go through it. And everybody tells you, you know, you need to stay positive. You need to stay positive. And I suffer from generalized anxiety disorder. And it manifests in a way that I can't look on the bright side of anything. Like, to me, it's, you know, when we ended up with one viable embryo during the process, everyone's like, oh, but you've got all you need is one. All you need is one. And I'm just thinking, like, this is over. I'm screaming and shouting and sobbing. Like, we only ended up with one. And to me, it was such a negative and it was awful. And had I not had Craig, who's the complete opposite of me, who does look on the bright side of everything, it would have been, I would have abandoned the whole process. I really would have. I really, really would have. And then, to go back to us being a bit crazy and being the lunatics, it's, I think laughter and, you know, poking fun at each other and the banter that we have is our way of coping. It's our way of getting through the rough times. Because, yeah, if you're not laughing, you are crying, because there's been so much to cry about. And believe me, I have cried more in the last year than I ever have in my life. But we've also laughed a lot.
And well, I'm never taking to bloody Disneyland.
Why?
What a waste of money that would be. The land of happiness. You'd be crying your eyes out.
No. I can be happy. That's the thing. I can be happy and look forward to things, but you know, I do take disappointments really, really, really hard.
Well, when we look at this whole fertility journey, it's often leans on the woman, the female. So maybe walk me through that side of it. Maybe Craig, just talk about, you know, your journey as the guy in all of this and how that has kind of what it's meant to you.
Definitely. The whole reason we started this podcast is because when we were going through and the beginnings, I mean, this has been a 2-year journey so far, before we even got to thinking about the implantation of our embryo, that one that we talked about. We saw that there was not really a lot of support out there for the male that was going through this process, because if you look on social media or you look into libraries or books or whatever it is, there's lots of support and groups for women that are going through this. And let's be honest, they're taking the whole brunt of the work. You know, for the guy, emotionally, we're going through this just as much. And the effect of your mental health, as well as the daily stresses of, you know, your job, your life, whatever it may be, plus throw COVID on top of that, it's really, really stressful. And there's not a lot of crutches or people that you can rely on or talk to, because, you know, you can talk to your partner, your wife that's going through this, but obviously, you know, it's a very different journey and she's got a lot of stuff she's carrying on shoulders. And I don't know if it comes back to the whole, you know, be a man and man up. I mean, that maybe that's part of my British upbringing and stiff upper lip and all that good stuff. But, you know, you want to kind of be strong, but not show that your wife to show that or carry that burden of yours as well. So, we basically started our podcast because of that. And we wanted a safe space or, you know, a discussion around the male side of infertility. With us, it's not male factor infertility, which means that you know, my sperm or it's my kind of, the issue lies with me, why we can't get pregnant.
The issue doesn't lie with you.
No, it doesn't lie with me in that respect. But, you know, it's 50-50 on failure to carry through a pregnancy. It's, you know, 50-50 on male and female factor infertility. And one of the stats out there, for Canada anyway, is 1 in 6 couples struggle with infertility. So for me, it was just getting out there and talking about it and bringing people in. And through our podcast, we've had a lot of people reach out to me and to Alex. But for the male side of things, I've had, you know, guys I went to school with that I haven't spoke to in years that have been through IVF. I've had some ex-colleagues that have reached out to me that are, you know, children of IVF. And people just don't talk about it. It's a taboo subject. It's not something that will affect everybody. You know, cancer can affect all of us, whereas IVF can affect, like we say, you know, a small percentage of people out there. And that's really what we wanted to do. And that's why we created the Lunatics to IVF, to discuss what we're going through and talk about the issues and the good things. And I think it's become, because it's such a hard journey, it's become almost like gallows humor, where we joke about it because, as we say, you know, if you go the other way, it's getting to the dark side. And that's not how I kind of live. I try and make positives. And living in Africa and being a tour leader out there for 2 years, I think that taught me a lot as well, seeing some, you know, pretty awful stuff out there, and seeing people go through some really, really hard times and hard situations has kind of taught me a really good life lesson, I think.
Well, you've been working on this as a couple for, you say, a couple of years, and it's gotten, I mean, it gets quite clinical. I mean, there's embryo transfer, implementation, there's all these, what did I hear you guys talking about, ERA or something, and yeah. I'm just like, wow, how did you ever think that you would become, and I'm not saying you're experts, but really knowledgeable about this subject in some clinical detail?
Well, Alex isn't. Let's get that off the bat.
I'm not knowledgeable. I just kind of show up and let them do what they want to me. Like I.
That sounds dodgy.
Craig's the one that does all the research and finds out, you know, why they're doing all this and why I'm taking this medication and why the embryo needs to hatch. I don't, you know, I don't care at the end of the day. Like, as long as it works, that's all
it is. Put it this way, Barry, I never thought that I'd have to teach my wife how her body works. I thought that was kind of something that she'd know, but I'll worry about the school you went to, maybe. I don't know, we'd get that checked into, or maybe it's just you, Alex. But when Alex said to me, I don't really know much about ovulation, Jesus, here we go.
But I do think we're quite different. Like the way the podcast started was when we decided to do IVF, I decided to start a blog, like an Instagram blog, just, you know, to kind of get my feelings out there about what we were going through and to connect with other people and hopefully to get people to connect with me that were not necessarily open to other people about what they were going through. And I just found that while doing that, there's this whole community out there, and they're called the TTC community. It's the Trying to Conceive community. And it's very, what's the word? They speak in acronyms, like they speak in a completely different language. And I find it really, it unless you're in the know, it really hinders people from joining in and being part of the conversation. So,
but let's be honest, we don't even know what a lot of the acronyms mean.
That's the thing. So that's what, you know, during the podcast, yeah, we do explain like what we're going through, but half the time I'm like, I don't know what this is for. I don't know what this is happening. Like, we just want people to come along for the ride, and we don't talk in acronyms. We don't talk in big scientific terms because we just want people to feel part of it with us and feel like they can join in because they've probably been through it. People that have been through the same thing or know somebody that's gone through the same thing, it gives them an idea from like a real person's point of view, not a TTC blog, which is like I'm in the TTC community and I don't understand anything.
So if you had someone in front of you, a couple, another individual who's trying to go through this.
Yeah.
What would be your key learning to share with them after this journey that is, you know, here we are in this time frame here to get to where you are today?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that there are, like we said, there's a lot of stuff out there, and it's so personal and unique to your own situation. There's so many tangents and things that can happen with each couple's journey, like we say, whether it's female or male factor. I think for me, the biggest thing that I've learned talking to other people and obviously going through our own trials and tribulations is to be your biggest advocate for testing, for checking, double checking, doing extra tests, whatever you need to do. And I mean, doing a little bit of research and finding out, you know, shall I get this tested or why are they testing this? And if there's anything that hasn't been carried out as far as testing goes or double checking, then, you know, ask for it and push for it. Because as I discussed earlier, I've had guys from the UK reach out to me that have been through this and had miscarriages. And, you know, I've heard all sorts of awful things, but there's also been some really good stories out there. And most of it I've found is down to certain clinics or wherever they've been or doctors. And the clinic we've been using have been phenomenal. You know, they've been absolutely amazing with every single test. They've kind of, you know, kid gloves and let's just be careful with this one. They're not just pushing. It's not like you're a business or, you know, let's get it done. Let's get it. You know, they're really, really putting the time and effort and making sure we're okay and everything's like tip top and at the best possible time or condition to go through it. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would say, Alex. I don't know. What how do you feel?
Yeah, I would say, I was going to say for a woman, but both for women and men, they need to be proactive about their own fertility and not take it for granted that you can just, you know, okay, we're going to, what do they call it over here? Pull the goalie and we're going to start trying to have a kid and we're going to get pregnant in a couple of months.
Mick Jagger?
Mick Jagger.
Yeah. Well, he's having kids as he was however old. Yeah, he's never been checked out, I guarantee it.
Yeah, but you can't take it for granted that's going to happen for you. You need to be your own advocate. You need to go start getting tested. And if it has been a couple months and you and your partner have been trying for a couple months and nothing has happened, then go get your sperm count tested, go get your sperm motility tested, and get it done once or like at least twice, because we found when Craig got his sperm tested, they messed up. And had we just the testers messed up, and had we just taken those results as golden, we wouldn't have even been in the situation where we are in now. We would have thought, well, we're screwed. We're completely
screwed. It would have been devastating.
But yeah, because we had a doctor that was able to read the results, and she's like, something doesn't seem right to me. I don't think this test was done properly. We got it done again. At the same time, the main reason that we're infertile is because I have a chronic illness called endometriosis. I went undiagnosed for 10 years, probably. And that's me going to numerous doctors, having numerous procedures and surgeries, people telling me that it was in my head, that I was making it up, that there's nothing wrong with me. And I suffered for years because of that. And you have to be your own advocate, and you have to keep pushing. If you think there's something wrong with you, you need to, like, you need, until you find that right doctor, the one that will listen to you, like, don't take no for an answer.
And what is it? Yeah. What is it, the sensitivity around even going there? Is it, do you find that that's the people who, maybe the people who have kids already, or mm-hmm. the medical community, there's some sort of unwillingness to talk about it? Maybe that's why you're here now.
There's definitely an unwillingness to talk about it. And like Craig said earlier, the amount of people that have reached out to us, like friends and acquaintances that we had no idea that they had gone through this, like that they had dealt with infertility issues themselves. And it's heartbreaking to me that people, for whatever reason, think there's some sort of taboo. Like, you know, people don't hide the fact that they have, like, it's not comparable, but people don't hide the fact that they have cancer. And like, even now people are like being more and more open about the fact that they have mental health issues. Why are people hiding the fact that they have fertility issues? Like, with men, are you seen as less of a man? A woman, are you seen like less of a woman because you can't carry a baby? Like, it's just ridiculous.
I think there's a few things though. Like, and like, you know, I don't know if everybody knows what Jaffa, like a Jaffa orange, which is seedless. And I've spoke to some of my friends, and straight away it was, oh, well, yeah, you're a Jaffa. And it went to like that almost like teasing kind of stage. And, you know, straight away it went to, oh, well, you're the problem. Not that it could be like a female problem as well. It was straight away, you know, oh, well, do you need some of my sperm? Or I'll get her pregnant for you and all that nonsense. And I think it's also down to each person. Like, you know, I can roll with those punches. I don't know how it would have been if it was me that was the factor in this. I think that people just, they don't, some people don't want to talk about it, right? We're all different. Some people, like, you know, Alex and I are very different when it comes down to some of the big, you know, parts of this journey we've been through, those mile markers. I want to phone everyone and talk to my close friends and family and vocalize it, whereas Alex kind of shuts down a little bit. But I think men in general, I think we seem to shut down and not talk about it. I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, I play football, soccer ball, as we say over here in Canada. And, you know, I've tried bringing it up a few times to some lads in my team, and, you know, all of a sudden they're running off up the other side of the pitch and with a ball and don't want to talk about it. It's very surface for us guys. You know, we either talk about sports, or we talk about the latest project we've got going on in the house or the car, or if we do have kids, you know, we talk about the latest thing with our kids. It's very surface stuff. It doesn't get very deep. And I think the reason that I do and I like getting like that, I mean, growing up, I've always had female friends. And I think guys either have female friends as their best friends kind of thing, or they don't. And chaps that kind of, you know, seem to have, you know, more female friends will open up a bit more, I think. I don't know if that's, you know, just a thing. Or I don't really know why that happens. But that's what I've found is I, you know, definitely like vocalizing and talking about it.
So what will it mean to have a child in your life?
Sleepless nights.
You already have sleepless nights.
That's so true.
I can't even put it into words, I don't think. Can you, Craig?
I think because we're at with our journey, and we're, you know, we're, nothing's been you know, nothing's been kind of set, or we're kind of floating around at the moment with no real outcome, or nothing's been finalized. I think right now is when we haven't even thought about that, and it's each mile marker, you know, we're taking it as like the analogy that I use is it's like those console games where you've got a controller and, you know, your character is walking through the forest of a pathway to the next, like, whatever it is, and the forest ahead is kind of, you can't see the path ahead, the forest is kind of over that pathway. That's how I'm treating it, is I'm getting to that next part. Then when I've got through that next part, whether it be, you know, a blood test outcome or whatever it may be, or a result of some description, then I'm going to go, right, now the next part. And that's kind of, I think, the way that I'm looking at it. So to be fair, Barry, I haven't really thought about it, but, you know, just now you've asked me that question. For me, it would be phenomenal. I mean, you know, our neighbors have kids that are really, you know, young, and I love going out and chatting to them and, you know, trying to teach them little things here and there. And for me, I think the best thing was, I don't know, I just, it would be amazing. And hopefully, Alex, I can then go and buy my Millennium Falcon from Lego without getting told off.
we have a lot of kids in our lives that are really important to us and mean a lot to us. And I think if we love them as much as we do, I think, you know, having our own will just be out of this world.
This has been a wild journey. I mean, a long journey for you.
It has. Yeah. It's not been a normal IVF journey as well. Like, you know, a lot of people would probably think like, well, how can you do a podcast about IVF? Like, the whole process takes 3 to 4 weeks if it goes well. You know, our first cycle took over 7 months because of complications. Yeah, so like from the first shot to the transfer. So it's been long. It's been a long hormonal ride, that's for sure.
When you look at other, and I asked this earlier, but it's kind of are you a go for it attitude that you want to give other couples, other people, or what would be the message on this journey that you'd like to, I would say, spread?
I would say go for it, because I think when Craig and I decided that we were going to do IVF, we'd said that, yes, there's a big cost financially, especially in, you know, in BC, there's a cost because some provinces help along the way, but here in British Columbia, they don't. And we had said, you know, we'd rather spend that $20,000, let's say it is, for a round, or $40,000 if we're going to do two rounds, and know that we gave it our all. If we didn't end up with any children, we know that we gave it our all. But we didn't want to look back in like 30, 40 years time and think, what if? Like, what if we just took that chance and spent that money? What if? And I do remember having a conversation with somebody a couple of years ago and saying, yeah, you know, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't spend that kind of money. You know, if it's not happening, it's not meant to be. But now it's like, I would regret it for the rest of my life.
So I think once it becomes a reality, though, I think when that option's taken away from you, like you said, when it's like, you know, you're not going to be a parent, then it really gives you a kick up the ass. And I think the biggest thing that I would say is, you know, we talked about IVF. We talked with Alex's surgeon that kind of helped her with her endometriosis and fixed that. And I mean, she's been amazing herself at Women's and Children's in Vancouver. And I think the biggest thing is actually pulling the trigger on, okay, let's do the IVF, because you think of $20,000-$25,000. I mean, that's a substantial amount of money for something that may or may not work, you know, at best 50-70% chance. It was that first decision to go, right, okay, we're going to start the IVF journey, we're going to start spending this money, and we're going to go down that path. It's a huge undertaking, and it's like, well, let's give it 6 months, let's try something else, let's do this, let's do that. And I think when you actually pull that trigger, that's the biggest time. Once you're into it, you know, you're on the slopes, you're heading down the slopes, it's, you know, there's no turning back, right? But I think yeah, it's the initial step. I think that's the thing that I would talk about or kind of bring up with anybody that's thinking about this.
I think you need to be on the same page as your partner. Like, you guys need to make a decision and say, okay, we're going to try it one time, or we're going to try it two times. Like, you can't keep going and going and going, because it does, like, it takes a financial toll, it takes a mental toll, physical toll on you. I think you guys both need to be really clear about what your end game is as well, and stick with it, because it can destroy you. Like, it really can. It's, you know, it breaks my heart, all the people that I see on social media that are like going in for their sixth round or seventh round or eighth round, and it's like, when do you just give up? But then at the same time, even though Craig and I have said, you know, we'd try it two times, maybe I'd get to that point where I'm like, let's keep going until we're, you know, living in a box under a bridge kind of thing. It's hard. It's really, really hard to pull that trigger, to pull the trigger and start. And it's also hard to stop, I think, as well. But
so you've got a podcast that you have that you're sharing this journey. I'm sitting here going, okay, we could talk all day here, because it's well, and I think that's your goal, right? Is to open the discussion, have the conversation going. Mm-hmm. How does someone find you? Where do they find the podcast? If they want to get a hold of you, maybe just some peer sharing the journey with you. How would you like them to connect with you?
So the podcast is The Lunatics Do IVF, and we're on wherever you get your podcasts: Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon. We're on Facebook at The Lunatics Do IVF, and Instagram at The Lunatics Do IVF, and we're on Twitter at The Lunatics Do. So that's where we are, and we drop a new episode every Monday. And yeah, it's been quite the ride, but you know, we're not, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. We're quite open and honest and raw, and we do swear a lot, which I don't think either of us have done today.
No, we've been very professional, I think, or normal, I don't know.
You know, and it's not just IVF talk and fertility talk. Like, each episode does have a certain topic that we're talking about, but we all it just ends up with us abusing ourselves and.
Well, we both had a lot of life experience, and there's some good stories that come out as well. We tear into each other a little bit, maybe a little bit of banter. Mm-hmm. More like a couple of best friends having a crack at each other. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've got a long way to go, and I'm happy to keep going with it. It's been fun. I don't know how you find with doing your podcast, Barry, or anybody out there that's doing their podcast, it's almost like a nice release, and it's good to get people talking, and hopefully, you know, we can help people. And that's what I said to Alex when we first started this: if we can help at least one person and support that one person, then I'm over the moon with, you know, with what we're doing, because like I said, there's not that much out there. And I haven't had that opportunity per se to have that person to support, for that person, you know, I can reach out to someone.
Thanks again to Alex and Craig for sharing their story today. For more on The Lunatics Do IVF, check out today's show notes. If you'd like to connect with myself or any of the guests we have featured here on the podcast, visit rebootforward.com. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, let's reboot forward.